Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I have a bunch of questions for y'all this morning. Okay, lots of questions. I'm going to need a little bit of interaction. Are y'all going to be able to do that this morning? A little bit of give and take? Okay, yep, get a little bit of that. That's good. Here's the first question that I've got for you. We're 11 days into 2020, okay? 11 days and a little bit into the 12th day, okay? 11 days into 2020. If you had one word, to describe 2020 and thus the 20s so far, one word to describe 2020 so far, what would that one word be?
Double portion.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. I want you to think about it, and then I'm going to ask you to do something with it. Starting now. Go. Okay. If you don't have it, make something up, turn to a neighbor, and tell them what it is and why it's that. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds each. Go. Okay, bring it back up here. I'm feeling a little left out up here. Okay, all right. So on the count of three, I want you to tell me what your word is, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. It's really great. Thank you. It's really, really good, John. It's really good. Okay. All right. Second question. We're only 3% into this year, okay? And we're 0.3% into the decade. There's still a lot of time to change what that word is, okay? For the first 11 days, the word is whatever it is. What do you hope the word is for the rest of this year and maybe even for the rest of the decade? One word to describe what you hope this year and maybe even this decade will be defined by. Again, take 5 seconds to think about it. Now share with a neighbor. You're left out too. Okay, all right. On three, I want you to give it to me, okay? One, two, three. Okay. All right, here's the deal. This series, 4 weeks, is really all about one thing. It's really all about one thing. We started last week, got a few more weeks left, and it's all about filling in this blank. The 1920s were known as the what 20s? The roaring 20s. What will the 2020s be known as? We have no idea. And let's be honest, people like me and you, without a whole lot of influence, will probably not have a lot to say about what this decade is defined by in, 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, what the historians will call this decade, you and I, we probably won't influence that a ton, but we have a lot of influence. In fact, you have more influence than anybody else on the planet for what word will go in there to describe your 2020s. What word do you hope will go in this blank? And if you put a word in your blank, maybe it even will influence other people. Maybe in some ways it will make an influence on our city, on our state, on our nation, maybe even our world. You just putting a word in there that you hope will define your life for the 2020s maybe it'll make a bigger impact than you think. So what do you hope the 2020s will be defined by? Last week, I gave you a word that we put in there, and we're not going to talk about that again this week, but I talked about what would it look like if the 2020s were a decade that were full of grace? What would it look like if it was a graceful decade? Today, I want to talk about another word. Another word that, look, I'm just telling you, I don't have high hopes that our world or our nation will be defined by this. I don't, but I'm certainly praying for it. But I do believe that God can make this true for you. My hope is that the 20s will be the peaceful 20s. I mean, peace is something that all of us want and yet few of us get. And it's something that even in those moments when we get that peace and we feel that rest, we feel that sense of security, oftentimes it's fleeting. It comes and it goes. This morning, I want to talk about what is peace? How do we find it? And how do we not only be people that receive it, but how do we also be people that influence the community around us a little bit? Your job, your home, wherever you are, to help that be peaceful also. What would it look like if we just declared, look, among other things, this is going to be a peace-filled year, and maybe even for us, a peaceful decade. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, won't you come and be with us? And as we talk about this topic, God, we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'll guide us. Lord, you know that I prepared some words, but I pray that you bring them to life. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, during this time that we have together, that it's all, Lord, that it's all going to be pleasing to you. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, as you came in, you might have gotten one of these. Do you have one of these? If you have one of these, hold it up. I want to see it. All right? But you got one of these. If you don't have one of these, they're in the pew backs in front of you, the seat backs in front of you. So you've got that. That book that's in front of you is yours, okay? We don't need to leave it there. We're going to fill them back up for 11 o'clock. Grab one of those, and that is now yours. This is the second time that we've done a church-wide reading plan, reading through some scripture. In the fall, we read through the book of Mark together. I watched that change people's lives, okay? I'm just telling you, some people that I know well, and then some emails that I got, some phone calls, it changes people's lives when you sit down and you get into scripture regularly. If you're not in the habit, if you've never read the Bible daily, that's fine. This is going to make that easy for you. You're gonna grab one of these. We start tomorrow. So tomorrow we start our reading plan. It goes several weeks, and it's just a little bit of scripture each day. You can see I started today. I want to be a day ahead because I'm going to be making some notes online and stuff. And you can see that I've just, you know, underlined a few things and then made a few notes down there at the bottom. This took me about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes with a little bit of prayer also. If you've never been in the habit of that, look, that's fine. I'm telling you, this can make a huge impact in your life. If you're here and you're not so sure that you believe all this Jesus stuff, all that, that's fine. You're not signing up for anything by doing this, okay? Just read it and see what it might do. What we're reading, they're not that easy. I mean, these letters that we're reading, they're difficult. They can be hard to understand. What we're reading are four letters of the Apostle Paul, one of the first Christian pastors, that he wrote while he was in prison. He was in prison near the end of his life in Rome, and he wrote, among other things, four letters that got sent out to other churches. They can be hard to understand, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you a weekly email. You can go online, you can sign up for it, and it's going to give you a little bit of context to help you understand the daily readings. Also, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock up in the confirmation space, Hannah Buchanan will be leading a Bible study. It's going to help you go deeper in it. And I'm also going to be making some notes online, maybe not every day, but periodically on my Instagram account, which is just my name. And all these things are designed to help this be a little bit easier to follow along with. So I want you to grab one of these, and I want you to read this with me and read this with our church. Now, I may or may not start posting tomorrow, even though the reading plan starts tomorrow. And I may not start tomorrow because tomorrow, my wife and I, along with 100 other people from our church, we leave for Israel. So we fly out of Dallas tomorrow afternoon, we hit New York, and then we fly overnight into to Tel Aviv. And what I definitely will be posting about over the next week or so is that trip. So if you're not going on that trip and you'd like to go on the Holy Land trip, you can go with us virtually. It's like almost the same thing, okay? So you can follow along there, and I can't wait to tell you all about it when I get back, but I'm basically telling you that to tell you this. Pray for us while we're gone. Just pray that we have an incredible experience. My wife and I, neither of us have ever been there before. Pray for us and pray for the rest of the trip, that God will just work in a really special way. And like I said, if you want to keep tabs on that trip, you can follow me or you can follow our HPUMC church on Instagram, and we're going to make sure that you know about all that stuff. So here's what I need you to do. Go ahead and grab your book once again. Turn to about page 5 or so, okay? It's going to be the first day's reading, Monday, January 13th, okay? That's tomorrow, so take a look at that reading. And we're going to go ahead and get started, okay? All right, if you're nervous about getting started, I'm going to get you started. We're going to read the first two verses together and reflect on that a little bit, and you'll see one word in there that we've already talked about this morning that is really what we're going after. Okay, so I, instead of reading out of this, I'm going to read out of this. You can look up here, but also be looking at your books that are in your lap. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Paul, we've talked about him a little bit, one of the first Christian pastors. He persecuted Christians for a little bit. Then he met Jesus after Jesus' resurrection, impacted his life in just an incredible way. He himself becomes a follower of Jesus, and he emphasizes right here at the beginning, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus, not by my own will, but because of what God has done in my life, okay? That's why I'm doing this. And I'm writing this to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So I'm sending this letter to the church that's in Ephesus, and as we talked about last week, likely some other churches that are around there also. Same verses we talked about last week. Here's how the body of the letter starts, the greeting. Blank to you and blank from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have this in your lap, you know what those two words are. Those two words that go in those blanks are two words that Paul starts all 13 of his letters that we have in the New Testament with. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books that are in the New Testament, and every one of those letters starts with these two words, two of the most important words for Paul when he's talking about and when he's seeking to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. The first we talked about last week is grace. Grace to you and what's the second one? Peace. Every single one of his letters, he starts by invoking peace on those who are reading this. But here's the thing. You know, our English words, they take on different meanings, right? I mean, words mean a variety of different things to us. When you think about peace, I mean, maybe we think about generally speaking the same thing, but how we in this room define peace is going to be different if we talk deeply enough about it. What we've got to do, if we want to understand this, is we've got to get in the mind of Paul and understand what did he mean when he wrote this? I mean, when he sat down and he penned in that prison cell, grace and peace be to you, what's he thinking about? Well, of course, he didn't write the word peace. He wrote the word eirene, which is the Greek word that we translate as peace. Eirene. And when he writes that word in Greek, he's certainly thinking about a Hebrew word that he would have grown up hearing, that maybe you've never heard the word eirene, but you've probably heard this word. And it's the Hebrew word that we translate as peace often, shalom. You've probably heard that word. So when Paul's thinking about eirene, or he's thinking about shalom, what's he thinking about? And look, we've got to know this. If it's important enough to him that he starts every letter with it, then as followers of Jesus, we need to understand, what's Paul mean when he says, eirene, peace to you? Okay, broadly speaking, there are a couple of different ways that we can understand this word. Okay, two different ways that we can understand this word. Here's some more questions for you. You ready for more questions? Okay, ready. Okay, what are these? Thank you. I can hear all of you, okay? Even in the balcony, I can hear you up there. What are these? thank you. Do it for me, if not for you. Okay. The handle's made out of plastic. What are the shears made out of?
Metal.
Metal. Yep. They trust me with metal scissors. Okay. What's this? And what is it made out of? Trees or wood. Yeah, yeah. One time I used goldfish as an example up here. And I did not know that if you put goldfish in water without a filter, that it you were sentencing the fish to death. But some fish people out here, some of you knew that. And I got lots of emails about that, okay? I'm also wasting paper, so maybe I'll get more emails today. Okay, all right. And here we go. But I'm going to Israel, so I don't care. Okay. All right, now it's going to get a little bit harder, but not too much harder. Okay, what is this? A hole? It's a hole, okay. What's it made out of? What's it made out of? Nothing. Hey, what is a hole? A hole is nothing but what? It's just the absence of paper. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, some things exist and all they are is the absence of something else. What's a cave? A cave isn't anything. What's a cave? A cave is just the absence of rock. Okay? The most obvious example maybe is darkness. What is darkness?
Absence of light.
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's just light. It's just the absence of light. Have you ever thought about what is cold? Cold is not anything in and of itself. What is it? It's just the absence of heat. There are some things that exist, and all they are is the absence of something else. One way to think about peace is that peace is just the absence of certain things. That peace is just the absence of conflict and violence and chaos, and you can think of other things. That peace is just the absence of whatever. In fact, when you think about wanting peace in your life in 2020, you probably think about the absence of something or someone, right? Peace is the absence of something. When we think about it this way, the way that people, Martin Luther King Jr. famously did this in a letter from Birmingham jail, another letter that's written from prison. I won't be here next week, so I'll say what I would have said next week. If you've never read the letter from Birmingham jail, you're off on Monday, many of you. Look, it's one of the best modern pieces of writing that's ever been written. Read that. In that letter, he talks about negative peace. That's not a bad thing. Negative not as in like a bad kind of peace, but negative peace is in what? It's just peace that's just the absence of bad stuff, okay? All the peace is just the absence of bad stuff. But there's another way to understand peace also. Another way to understand peace is that peace is the presence of something. Now, if you can't use peace to define peace, okay, then peace is the presence of what?
God.
Okay. You're a shepherd, okay? Stay with me for a second. You're a shepherd. You have 100 sheep in your flock. You get to the pen at night, you get them all in the pen, you count them up, and there are 99 of them, okay? What do? Well, you leave the 99 in the pen, and you do what? You go find the other one. And you find the other one, and you get the other one in the pen, and then you count again, and you got all 100, and then you're able to rest. Why? Because your flock is whole. It's complete. Okay? You're not a shepherd. You're a wall maker, okay? You work with bricks, and you work with concrete. You build your wall. It takes you days, weeks. Finally, at the end, you lay the last brick. You step back. You take a deep breath, and you rest. Why? Because the wall is whole. It's complete. There are no more cracks in it or holes in it. A few years ago, I got this. I've gotten more sermon illustrations out of this one ball than anything else I've ever received, okay? It's called a ball of wax, and it's 30-something individual pieces that have magnets in them. And you can make all kinds of things with it, but the resting state, the way that I keep it in, the way that it came packaged, is as a ball like this. Now, I fidget with this often when I'm on the phone or sometimes when I'm in meetings. My kids come into the office and they play with it, and it frequently breaks, okay? And then I have to take all 30-something pieces and put them back together, and then it's whole. It's complete again. You know, one way to think about peace is in the negative sense, that it's the absence of conflict, violence, or chaos. Here's another way to think of it. That peace is the presence of wholeness, the presence of completeness, the presence of that rest when you look and everything's right. This is a positive peace. When Paul uses the word peace, what's he talking about? I mean, this is peace the way that we think about it. But this is shalom. When the Bible uses the word peace in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is not in any way talking about this. It is in every way talking about this. I mean, the whole of the Bible, really, the grand overarching narrative, could be understood with something like this. That in the beginning, God creates the world, he creates the cosmos, and it's whole, it's complete. And on the seventh day, after 6 days of work, what does God do? Rest. He rests. Because he's tired? No, it's not in God's nature to be tired. He rests because he looks at creation and it's what? It's good. And it's whole. And it's complete. But he gives a lot of authority to people like me and you. Come on. Let's just be honest with each other for just a second. We're all friends here. What do people like you and I do? I mean, we do lots of good stuff, but what else do people like you and I do? I mean, come on. We mess stuff up, don't we? I mean, don't we mess stuff up? I mean, don't we mess up relationships? And I mean, relationships with other people. And don't we mess up our relationship with ourselves where we start to think weird things about ourselves, either too highly or too lowly? Don't we do that? And don't we mess up our relationship with God? I mean, we mess things up. And then the rest of the biblical narrative, the overarching story, is about humans like messing this up and God constantly working through humans and through the power of his Spirit that we don't fully understand to bring what? To bring peace and shalom to your life and to the world as a whole. This is what he does over and over and over. This is why he calls the Israelites to be his people. This is why he sends Jesus. This is why he still works in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why he wants you to be reading Scripture daily. Because what he's seeking to do is in your life individually and in our world corporately is to put the things back together in a place of wholeness, in a place of completeness, where we can be in a state of rest, in a place of shalom, where we, like him, can rest and enjoy. This is what he wants to do in your life. But here's where we get messed up, friends. Like, I get messed up with this all the time. Yesterday, okay, I'm going to tell you that. Yesterday, I get messed up with this. Here's the thing. I know that deep down, my inner state, what I desire, I know that what I desire is this. This is what my heart deeply longs for. But yet, so often, I settle for going after this. Now, this is an important distinction. You've got to see this, okay? Now, I know this isn't the way we normally think about things, but look. We're going a little bit deeper here. Think about this on a global, like geopolitical, through that lens. Okay? What we ultimately want with Iran, okay? Now, I'm going to speak, you're going to think I'm crazy for a second, okay? What we ultimately want with Iran is what? We ultimately want is this. That's what we want. Okay? And if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you can want whatever you want to, okay? But if you're a follower of Jesus, this is what we want with Iran, okay? We don't want to just stop throwing bombs at each other. We want this, which goes far beyond just a ceasefire. It goes far beyond not throwing rockets at each other. It's a state where we don't even desire to throw rockets at each other. You know what ultimately it's a state of? Oh man, this is great. Isaiah, a prophet in the Old Testament, he casts this vision. He paints this picture from God of what the world will look like when it's truly at peace. And you know what he says people are going to do? They're going to take their swords They're going to beat them into plowshares. Picture that image. This is one day when the world is at peace, Israel, here's what we're going to do. We're going to melt down our weapons and we're going to turn them into things that don't cause destruction, but things that you create with. I mean, ultimately, that's what we want. That's what we're driving towards. That is what we desire. It's more than just this. It's this. It's warships no longer used for war, but used to carry supplies and goods all around the world so that other people have the blessings that we have. That ultimately is what we're going after. Let me take a step back. One of the things that I think is really important is that you live in reality, okay? And here's the reality. The reality is that in some situations, geopolitically and personally, the best that you can hope for is this, okay? Sometimes this is the best that you can hope for short term. So I am in no way saying that we need to live in some kind of fantasy world where we think that we're going to get here with Iran next week. We're not, okay? But we have to recognize that ultimately what we desire is much deeper than just the absence of violence. It's the presence of this. It's the presence, actually, geopolitically, of cooperation. Okay, let's take it down a little bit more personally. Think about your families. What I ultimately want for our family is I want this. But so often, yesterday, trust me, friends, I am just settling for this. I don't care if you like each other, just stop talking. Like, don't yell or touch each other. Don't even be in the same room with each other, okay? Look. Ultimately, what I want for our children and for Amy and I, for our relationship with our kids, ultimately what we want is this. But so often, the way that I parent is just this. You know what this is, parents? This is behavior modification. You know what this is? This is character development, okay? And so often what I do, because I don't have my eyes on the true prize, I just want the behavior to change. Stop hitting each other. But ultimately what I want is for our kids to be raised with the kind of love and affection towards one another where there's not even the desire to hit each other, okay? Super personally now. All of us have pain in our lives. All of us have shame. All of us have pain. All of us have insecurities. All of us have things that prevent us from having peace. Here's the thing. What you ultimately want is this. But so often, what do you settle for? This. Because here's the thing. You know that what you're doing is not right and that you carry a lot of shame in here. You know that. And you know that the quickest fix is to cover it up with the bottle or to cover it up with the very same thing that got you in that place of shame in the first place. So you go out of here and you cover it up with that. And you actually have a measure of peace for a while. Here's the thing. Sin, I heard somebody say this recently. Sin feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, you're not doing it right, okay? I mean, this is the temptation of it. What you ultimately want, if you're in a relationship you shouldn't be in, if you're hooked on something that you shouldn't be hooked on, what you ultimately want is this. But yet we get in this cycle where we settle for the momentary peace. When ultimately what we desire deep down is this kind of shalom, this wholeness that sometimes takes years of counseling, always takes the Lord working in our hearts. Okay, all right. This is what Paul is talking about when he talks about peace. He's not talking about this. He's talking about this. How do we get that? You can get this with a lot of stuff, okay? How do we get this? Well, Paul has no confusion about this at all. There's no confusion at all. I mean, just like after 2,000 years, our understanding of peace shifts, our understanding of how we get peace shifts also. For Paul, crystal clear, no questions asked, everybody around Paul would have known how he knows that you get peace. His scriptures, what we now call the Old Testament, really clear where shalom comes from. The Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That's where it comes from. And then Paul, look, he knows what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, here's the deal. You're going to have trouble in this world. I'm sorry, you're going to. It's just the reality. You're going to have trouble in this world. But don't fear, Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And the peace that I have, I can give to you. He said, look, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you what? I'm gonna give you rest, okay? I'm gonna give you peace. My peace I can give to you. And it's not the kind of peace that the world has, Jesus says. I'm gonna give you a different, you see this? A different kind of peace. Paul knows where it comes from, which is why Paul can say, and we'll get to this in a few weeks in Philippians 4. I have experienced a peace that passes what? A peace that passes understanding. A peace that I just don't get. A peace that I should not have. A peace that seems to come from beyond me. That's the kind of peace that I am experiencing. And friends, that's the kind of peace that God this morning is inviting you into also. You see, here's what Jesus does. You know what Jesus does? Jesus comes and he declares peace with humanity. I mean, he comes back from the grave. And he goes and he visits those very people that betrayed him, the very people that turned away from him. And he doesn't come back and he doesn't chastise them, and he certainly doesn't bring physical violence to them. He appeared. You know what the first word he says is? First word. It says peace. Peter, I know what you did. I was there. Okay? I know what happened. And I know what you were thinking, and I know all those things. Peter. Look. Peace. I mean, do you need to hear that this morning? Look, I know what you did. I know what you thought. I know what you said. I know. Look, I know. And it's not good. It's bad. We need to deal with it. That's fine. Look. But peace. Peace. Jesus comes declaring peace. Peace in your life. This is peace. But he goes beyond that. He comes to declare peace. And you know what else he does? He comes to declare you, if you're a follower of Jesus, he comes to declare you a peacemaker. Peace for you. And friends, get out of here and be a peacemaker. He comes to you and he says, I know what you said, but look, peace. He says, get out of here and go to that person and say, look, I know what you said. Look, I know what I said. And I know what I thought, and I think I know what you thought. But look. Peace. And then you build off of that. I mean, some of you need to lean over to the person next to you right now and just whisper that word. So if you need to get your phone out, and that, like, that's the word that you send. Okay? If they're in this room, they'll understand. If they're not in this room, they're not gonna understand that at all. Okay? I actually know a guy who his girlfriend broke up with him one time just by saying peace, like, peace, I'm out. Okay? Okay. All right. Like that's what they need. Okay, look. Maybe you need to make a phone call. And just start with that. Paul starts every one of his letters with the word peace because Jesus broke into his life and he declared peace in his life, and Jesus declared him a peacemaker. Jesus is seeking to break into your life, maybe for the first time today, or maybe for the 100th time, and say to you, peace. I know, friend, I know how you feel about yourself. Trust me. Peace, and get out there and do that for others also. Okay, here's how we start this, and then I'm gonna pray. Here's how we start this. You know how you start this? Come on. You just pray and you tell him you wanna start that. Jesus, I want peace in my life, and I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be someone who goes out and makes peace with the world, not just personally, but also by the way that I serve others in the community. I want to be a peacemaker. And then you know what you do? You read this, because it will teach you what this shalom looks like. It will teach you what this peace looks like. And it might even provide for you, I dare say it will provide for you, that peace that passes understanding. It will give you that peace and it will teach you how to be a peacemaker. Just those two things. Just pray that prayer. God, I want peace and I want to be a peacemaker. And then read this. You know, it's just Monday through Friday. You get a break on Saturday and Sunday. Just read this and see what God does. And I'm pretty sure you're going to feel a little bit of a nudge to get out there and to live at peace and to find people to make peace with. I don't know what the 20s are going to be defined by. But for you and for me, for our church, and maybe even a little bit for our community, and our state and our nation and our country. I'm just hoping and I'm praying that we'll look back and say, you know what? Way more than we ever thought it could be. This was the peaceful 20s. God, thanks for this time that we've had together. And Lord, I pray that right now, that you'll give us peace. Lord, that you'll give me peace just inwardly, and that you'll make me, Lord, to be a peacemaker. I pray that for everybody here. Lord, for the kids and for the teenagers and for the adults, for the men and for the women, peace. Peace. God, we love you that you are so full of grace and you are so full of peace that you share those things with us and that you invite us. In fact, you send us to share those things with others. God, we love you. We're grateful for you. We're thankful for this church, and we're grateful that we'll be able to be back together next week, Lord, to just continue to study in Ephesians and to see how it is that you're leading us, Lord, to define this decade, Lord, as a decade that is filled with your goodness and your grace. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.